remind you of the word we got earlier in the year where the Lord said, with all your getting, with everything that you are pursuing, pursue wisdom. And that wisdom is to be found in the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you to continue to be as hungry and as thirsty as you are for God. I was just thinking last night, one of my first sermons that I brought about 7 years ago. So it's amazing, just response that we got after the service, in the altar call. So many people responded and gave their lives to the Lord. And I think God was just very gracious to me to encourage me for that first one. You know, it's like Jonathan just now, he's just started out with a little bicycle without the wheels. And of course, we've got some grass there at home, so he's been having a few unplanned landings, but at least they were soft landings. And now he's getting his confidence up and he's cycling away. And every now and again, I've got to come and look and see what he's doing. Still bumping into trees from time to time. But at least he's making some wonderful progress. You know, and for me as a dad, I'm not going to stand and say, oh, man, you hit the tree again. You know, I'm excited about the trees that he missed. You know, there were 10 trees in the yard and they only hit one. You know, that's a massive achievement. And God is the same way. God comes and he encourages us in the stuff that we, when we just step out. And I want to just encourage you to remember that when you get into the presence of the Lord, you know, sometimes you think, oh man, I'm here on a Sunday and I'm praising God, but I didn't praise during the week. So, you know, why does it make me and my hypocrite now? All that condemnation that comes into your head. God isn't too concerned about it. He's just concerned and happy and excited about the fact that you are here. And you said, Daddy, here I am. And I was talking about the sermon. What I'm mentioning that is that, you know, I preach with such a lot of confidence about just the disciples and Simon. And so I said that Simon, you know, he was actually a terrorist. And I was speaking about Simon, the Lord later gave him another name and called him Peter. Simon means the reed, and Peter means the rock. And how God came and God transformed him. His character from being a wimpy guy, was afraid of people, to somebody who was actually really strong and a rock. And so I said that Simon was actually a terrorist, a zealot, which is true. The zealots were like an underground movement in Israel. They were the guys who cloak and dagger stuff. They used to walk around with their daggers underneath their cloaks. And if they found a Roman soldier isolated, they would take him out. And they were responsible for many of the uprisings in Judea and violent resistance against the Romans. And that's why eventually the Romans burned down Rome. They did burn down Rome as well, Nero, but Jerusalem. But I would say with such a lot of confidence, you know, Simon the terrorist, and the Lord turned his name into Peter. And the other day, I read, no man, there were two Simons that were part of Jesus' disciples. One was Simon, the Lord called Peter, and the other one was Simon the Zealot. The two completely different people. That's my first sermon. And I said with such a lot of confidence, you know, because Simon was the guy, Peter, you know, in the garden, the guy who took the sword, and when the soldiers came to Jesus, he just like pulled out his sword and chopped off the one guy's ear. And I just looked at that and said, that sounds and looks to me like a terrorist. You know, a guy with lots of anger inside his heart. It makes sense to me. But we're two completely different people. And everybody just sat there in the sermon and looked at me. And the pastor sat there. Nobody said anything. And 7 years later, I'm discovering, no man, they're two completely different people. But a friend of mine always says that the word of God, even when preached badly, still changes your life. Because it is the word of God. Okay, so I want us just to come this morning. Let's open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you this morning. And Lord, just know that we are here, Lord, because of you. And you, the one, Lord, who's alive. Lord, we can sense you. And you're busy with something amazing, Lord, that goes beyond our understanding. And Lord, so we bring you our hearts, Lord, and everything that's inside of it, God, the things that are on the surface, Lord, that are shouting out for our attention, and also those things that are hiding away, God. Maybe we don't even are aware of them. We pray that you would come through the light of your word and shine upon our hearts through the power of your spirit. Come and transform us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. January is gone. Anybody as amazed, a little bit shocked as I am? It's gone. It's amazing how quickly time flies. And I was just, last night I sat down and I made just a list of the stuff, just in church life, you know, it's been going on. Last week we had our first like service of the year in the Aula, which is incredible. About 300 people there, just worshiping God and just coming together and having having a fantastic time. It was amazing. Our first year's camp last year, it went very well. The Lord was so faithful, just in saving people and people just coming to a new knowledge of who they are in Christ. And then, of course, we started off the year, in December, actually, we had our wonderful community week where we just ministered to the school, we ministered to the police station, just came around, we built stuff and cleaned and just showed them we love them. Police are very grateful. The Lord blessed us with an incredible relationship with the school, which we're very thankful for. And then we started off the year with Vili and Nikita getting married. What was the 1st of January? There was Mia and Yaku getting married. There was Calvin and Laura getting married. And it was all in January. We had baby Matt, being dedicated. We had baby Noah. Baby Matt is Alistair and Esther's little baby boy. He was dedicated early in the month. And this week, baby Noah, this is Pastor Tepe and Lorraine's little baby boy, he was born. Just lots of stuff going on with our first like a big adult social at Sable Hills. Thanks, Mother Lane and Michal. Just next to, what's the dam's name? Ruidepla Dam. Just came together at a great ball of a time there. We slipped and slid and skidded and pulled muscles and twisted ankles and played ball and jumped into the pool. Just had an amazing time there. Stunnerton last week had over 300 people. Those of you guys who went through for the launch last year, just God is doing incredible things there. Over 300 people who came to visit there. So there are just incredible things that is going on. And the Lord has been blessing us with life. It's just been beginning to just bubble underneath the surface. And I've got such an expectation in my heart that as we go into this year, that more life is going to manifest. And as it is any parent knows that when the Lord comes and He gives you a baby, and that baby is amazing in its blessing and in its joy that it brings into your life. Santi, hello. That life that comes into our lives is an amazing joy that comes with it. But that life requires us to make a few changes, doesn't it? Gornay, baby Abigail was born this week as well as last week. Last week, yeah, Gornay and Eileen's little baby girl, beautiful, born, and Eileen's doing well. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, we experienced a little bit of a baby boom, just a bit of an explosion. People getting married and having kids, and it just, man, just being obedient to the Lord. It said, multiply and fill the earth. So it's amazing. And we discovered we're getting a baby girl in June. She's here as well with her mom. Came to visit her this morning. When a baby comes into our lives, we need to change in order to be able to manage the blessing that comes into our lives. Isn't that so? We can't continue to live the same way we did when we didn't have a baby. You can't continue to think about your life, to use your finances and your leisure time, your friendships. Everything changes because of this blessing that has come into your life. And towards the end of last year, God began to speak to us as a church about just life that He's going to give us and He's going to bless us with. And I want to continue with that and show us, just want to refresh your memory very quickly, three portions I want to read for us about what the Lord started to share with us last year. You can just follow with me. The first portion comes out of Mark 6, verse 7. And God gave us a mission, we believe. By the way, we're together on a Sunday morning, not to get our weekly fix, our weekly dose of make me feel good experience I can get through the week. That isn't why we are here primarily. We come together and we encourage, we see brothers and sisters, something happens in our hearts and we give each other a hug, we share about what God has been doing, we worship God, stuff get left behind, get cleansed, we get washed, we sit under the preaching of the word. But we are primarily here to just make sure that we align our lives correctly with our mission. We are on a mission. I don't know how many of you are aware of that. But God decided to leave us here on earth after He saves us. He doesn't just rapture us to be with Him in heaven. He leaves us here so we can do something, so we can represent Him. That is our mission. That is our, as Stephen Curtis used to sing, Stephen Curtis Chapman many years ago, the great adventure that God calls us to. This great adventure is to represent Him, to be His hands, His feet, His mouth, to be Jesus here on earth. This is how Jesus said it. He said, he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. It's why we believe we don't do things in isolation. You can, but it's so much better to do it two by two and other people are around you and they can pray with you. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. In other words, God, I don't want you to worry about what you're going to eat and drink. I want you just to be obedient. As you're obedient, the other things will take care of themselves. But to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And for us, we felt the Holy Spirit is saying to us as we're going into this year, that this life that we are experiencing here. And again, guys, if you're coming only to the morning service, I want to urge you, please come to the evening service as well. Even if it's just one Sunday in the month. Because there's so much, there's different facets of life manifesting. It's like Anneke and Jonathan. And they are kids, but they're just so completely different. If you look at one, you say, oh, that's what the parents are like. And you see another one, say, oh, those must be different parents. That's completely, they've got this whole unique way of operating and they bring out different things in each other. They're completely different. Jonathan by himself, Anneke by herself. You put the two together and then there's another dynamic that happens there. And it's the same with us as well. In our morning services, the Lord manifests himself in a specific way. And the evening service, the Lord manifests himself in a specific way as well. I want to encourage you, please come in the evening, even if just once a month, just to come and experience the life that is taking place there. But we felt very strongly in our hearts, the Lord is saying that he's wanting us to take this life that we are experiencing, to take that with us. And as the last part, let's go back. Michael, please, last verse is, in whatever place you enter a house, the Lord is wanting us to take the life and to enter into people's lives. Not just to wait for people to come to us, but for us to enter people's lives. Where people are living, people are playing, people are hurting, people are experiencing life. Because life is so much more than just what happens on a Sunday, isn't it? And the Lord is gradually shifting us to say, we have received life, let's go, let's enter people's lives. And then Jesus continued, it says, whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And it says, listen, don't worry about who will accept you, who will reject you. Don't worry about that. Just go with what I put in your heart. Surely I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. I want to just hold it before us again. That we believe that the Lord in this year is asking us to go out. To take what he has given us and to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel, as St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. That there is more to preaching than just standing on the side of the road and saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is part of it, because Paul also said, how will they hear if somebody does not preach? Okay, so we are not saying never use words. We're not saying just do stuff. It's a combination. How are you going to preach the gospel? It's going to manifest different through Almri. It's going to manifest through me. It's going to manifest different through Brahm and thus through Santi. The Lord has wired each and every one of us with gifts and talents, unique seasons in our lives where the gospel is going to manifest itself. The key is simply to say, Father, I am committing myself to go out, wherever that is, to not live here where it's comfortable. Because this place, the house of God, our fellowship of believers as we come together, is a sanctuary that God has called us to. The Lord says that in a time of trouble, he hides us in the secret place of his pavilion. The presence of God for us individuals in our inner room is a place of safety. We run into it and we are safe. When depression comes after us, anxiety or fear of the future or things from the past, when they want to come after us, the Lord says we can run into him and we can be safe. The Lord also says that one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 2,000, 10,000 to flight. So there is a place where I can stand in the gap and I can fight for victories and breakthroughs in my life. And God gives that to me. So our God is an intensely personal God. Paul says in Romans that he has given us his Holy Spirit and that Holy Spirit cries out inside our spirits, with our spirits, Abba, Father. En dit beteken Papa God, my Papa. En dis wat Jesus gekom het om te doen, om nie net vir ons hierdie groot God voor te hou nie, maar hierdie intens persoonlike God wat kom en deel word van ons lewens. And so God is uniquely interested in each one of our lives as we are here this morning. Knows about us. We didn't arrive here this morning by accident. You're not studying here by accident. You're not working here by mistake. You don't sit next to the person you are sitting to by mistake. God has led us here. He has called us here. But there's a place where, yes, I experience God in the privacy of my own life, in my inner room. And then I experience God here as well. David is such an amazing encouragement to me. David knew God by himself as he was looking after the sheep. It was only David against the lion and the bear. And so there was something that happened in his heart. Many of those psalms that he wrote out of a place of intense loneliness, isolation. You remember when Samuel goes to anoint the next king, David isn't even invited to the talent show. He doesn't even get the invitation. Everybody forgets about him. His dad, of all people, that doesn't think David has what it takes. So he knew about rejection, but that rejection only pushed him deeper into God. And so strength was birthed inside of him. You can read the Psalms and you can see how often David speaks about that, about the Lord being his shepherd, my shepherd. Not just somebody else who speaks in the DVDs or writes the books or has a massive ministry, but my shepherd, the one who leads me personally, green pastures and still waters and through the valley of the shadow of death and to the table that he's preparing for me. And my cup runs over. He anoints my head. There's a place where we've got to say, Father, I know that you died for the world. You sent your son to die for the world. But I'm now saying yes for your blessings for me. And only I can do that. I cannot say yes to a blessing for somebody else. Open their mouth and say, you will have this blessing like we have to do with the kids. With the medicine. It's good for you, so you will have it. Well, I did say our kids are weird. They love their medicine. Like, they love it. Blader is a bit funny. I'm just a bit funny straight. To get the greens into them. But there is a place where we come together as believers and we experience something that God is doing. And this whole, what happens on a Sunday, our spirituality as individuals, my relationship with my wife and with my kids, my physical house and the home that it represents, my personality, my experiences, if they are in the right place, if they are under submission to God, then all of those things God uses to build a sanctuary. In other words, He creates a place of safety for me. I can run into it. And my wife and my kids and the body of believers and the gifts and the talents, all of those things work together to provide an atmosphere wherein I can just be myself and I can be accepted and I can grow in my relationship with God. The challenge is that when I make that sanctuary the be-all of my life. In other words, if I forget about the going out, there is a very, very, very thin line between a sanctuary and a prison. A sanctuary keeps the predators out, prevents the predators from getting in. A prison keeps that which is inside and prevents it from getting out. And so I've constantly got to ask myself, this what is happening here on a Sunday, or what is happening in my inner room, or what is happening between me and my wife and me and my kids, and what is happening in terms of my calling and the gifts that God has given me and my finances and all of those things. Is that a sanctuary? Or is that a prison that is preventing the life that is inside of me from coming out? Are the walls around me so thick that what is inside of me can't get out? And that is what the Lord has been challenging us with last year. And as we're going into this year, I want to hold this before us again. Because I believe the Lord is wanting to do something in this year. We're beginning to sense it. So stay with me as I'm going somewhere with us. The next verse there. Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, and a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. He often was. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed. She will live." We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. So Jesus went with him. A great multitude followed him and thronged him. And saints, we believe that the Lord is, as we open up our hearts to say to God, "God, we want what we are experiencing here on a Sunday. We want what is happening between my wife and I, the life that I'm experiencing, what is happening between my friends and I in a small group, what is happening in my finances as you are blessing me. Wherever I'm experiencing blessing, wherever I'm experiencing what you are giving me, we are wanting that to be a channel through which you can work. We're not going to make that the ceiling of our lives. We're simply going to make it a channel through which you can operate. And we are trusting you as we open up our hearts that yes, we will go and we will divinely connect with people, but people will begin to see something in our lives. And it's not about, you know, the bumper sticker on your car that says whatever. Honk if you love Jesus. You know, it's not about those things. Can be value in them, but it can also be a challenge when you lose your temper, whatever, flush your witness down the tube. It's more about the stuff that we wear, that we display. It's something about our spirits that I believe the Lord is wanting to touch. And you've come across it somewhere. That you meet up with somebody, maybe you're standing in the queue wanting to watch some rugby or cricket, and there are many people around you. And suddenly you just stand next to somebody or you meet them and there's an openness. And after a while you start talking about Jesus and you realize, but man, there's this, we don't know each other since Adam, but there's this something that's open between us because our spirits connect. And people can sense that. And I just believe that the Lord is wanting to bring all of us to a place where we have an openness that we project. Transparency that we project, a sense of welcome that we project. When I was in the States a few years ago, I was so amazed by how the entire system about America, all the shops and the stores and different places, was geared towards making the customer the most important person in that store. Whenever you walk in, there would be people who would almost fall over their feet to serve you. Whether it was a garage station in the middle of nowhere, you'd always be greeted with, "Hello, sir, how are you? What can we do to help?" And it would be more than just words. It would be like somebody like, "Man, I want to buy something here. I don't really have money, but I feel like I want to spend it here." It's almost as if they are inviting you into their space. You know, after a while, as long as I lived there, I found that it doesn't really translate into the rest of their lives very often. People are still a bit close in certain areas when it comes to really heart-to-heart connections. And Fritz and I spoke about it yesterday. Our community, our city, our nation, the world is so hungry for genuine connectedness. You look at the phenomenon that is Facebook. Where does it come from? Technology makes it easy for us. But there's a deep need inside of people to be connected with people, with other people. Doesn't matter what you convince yourself and where you sit, but interesting, we listened to a talk somebody gave, a visiting professor from Regent University, the largest Christian university in the world. He spoke about the fact that they've done some research now and they've discovered that just in this year, last year actually, there's finally a generation in America now that are spending more time on something besides television, leisure time. Television used to be the number one thing that people used to spend their leisure time on. Most of the time would be dedicated to watching television. Television has now been relegated to second place underneath the social networks of the cell phone, the computer, and the palm top, and all those things. More people are spending more time on the social networks than on television. You put television and social network together, of course, and you can understand why we are so disconnected to people, because my phone takes precedence, and this SMS I have to send now, this post I have to make now, takes precedence over the very real flesh and blood person sitting next to me or standing behind me It's easy to convince myself this is priority rather than the need. It's still legitimate. Still wonderful connections that take place through that. All I'm saying is that it's a symptom of a massive need that we have to be touched. To be close to people. And I believe that's where the gospel of Jesus Christ has the edge. Because we are ultimately a people, not a people who are perfect, but a people who have been touched by God. We have been touched by God. And we are constantly being touched by Him. And so we have an opportunity to give something that the world so desperately longs for. And the Samaritan woman experienced, besides the well, life-giving water. It becomes a challenge, of course, when we sense, but God, I myself, I've been disconnected from. And that often prevents us from moving out and giving. Or sometimes we fear, God, if the little bit that I do have, if I give that, then I'm going to lose that. And I believe the Lord is wanting to deliver us just from that. We've had an amazing month thus far. And I must admit, one of the highlights for me has been just our intercession. It's been amazing. I'm still trying to figure out where the shift came about. Last year, we just said, instead of praying just once a month, every Monday evening, we're going to pray every Monday. And the Lord started doing something amazing and just knitting our hearts together. I love what, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, said, we become close to the person to whom we pray. We become close to the person with whom we pray. And we become close to the person for whom we pray. Become close to the person, or with the person to whom we pray. It's God. We move closer to God as we pray to Him. We move closer to the person with whom we pray. There's something that happens when we come together and we pray to God. There are defenses that fall away. There are masks that are dropped when we, not just periodically, but when we push in into a place where we are open and vulnerable before each other. Just last week, or this past Monday, again, arrived at the prayer meeting, and there were some challenges that I had to work through. And I just told the guys, listen, I've got this challenge. I feel like doing this. And I know this isn't what God is wanting me to do. I know it. I feel like doing it. And if I continue in the state that I'm in, I'm probably going to do what I feel like doing instead of doing what I know I should be doing. And please just pray for me. And it was so amazing to have the brothers and the sisters come around me and pray for me and speak words into my life that changed the course of my thoughts and the course of my week. And it was amazing to be a part of that. And the week before that, again, we came together and we pray Monday evenings, 6 o'clock, in the cafeteria. And it was incredible to come together. And I think it's got something to do with what Jesus said. You know, the disciples came and they asked Jesus, Jesus, please teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, don't pray with lots of pretense and so that people can see what you're doing all the time. He says, go into your inner room. And that speaks about a place of privacy. Speaks about a place of focus. But more than just a physical place. It was interesting that Jesus said, even when you go into your inner room, how do you start praying? You start praying with the awareness that you are a wonderful child of God, but you're not the only child of God. You start praying and you say, Our Father. There is a connectedness. There's a dimension of community that stirs something in God's heart. It's like my father-in-law. His greatest joy in life is to have his house filled with all his kids and his grandkids. And them running around that house, calling him Pa, and making a mess and running, you know, through the house, out the house, into the grass, and coming in with their wet and dirty feet. And grandma, of course, is throwing a bit of a fit. Ma as well. But grandpa, he just wants to have the kids around him all the time. And so there's one hanging on the one leg, one on the other leg, one on his shoulders, other one trying to jump on his back. And there's something that happens in he's at his happiest when his kids and his grandkids are around him. Sometimes Nick and I spoke about it often. We're like, who is that man? when his kids are around him, when his grandkids especially are around him, who is he? Because that guy and the guy that we sort of knew for a very long time, they're almost like two completely different people. Now they're not, they're still the same person. It's just that when the kids come together and when the kids enjoy each other, there's something that happens in his heart. This dimension is being unlocked in him that has always been there. It's not as if he's putting on a mask now or the guy that, you know, previously was somebody else. It is just that when his kids and his grandkids, when they come together and they enjoy being in his house and they enjoy being with each other and they enjoy calling him Pa and just being, he just wants to braai. He just wants to constantly make a fire and just be there. And I believe that is reflective of something in our daddy's heart. That when we come together with the knowledge that we are coming together as our Father, there is something that stirs in God's heart. And we've begun to sense that as we come together just to pray, it's as if God is saying, man, finally, you are here. Let's have a braai. Let's die koele sal daar, die vleis gaan opgesit word, en ons gaan massiewe partytjie. And it was so forcefully or powerfully demonstrated to us about 2 Mondays ago. We were coming to pray, our first Monday prayer of the year. And so at the, by the way, I'm thirsty and I've drunk all my water. Somebody bring me some. Please. Thanks, love. What's your name? Oh, praise God. Cheers. We were sitting at a dinner table the other day, eating. Nanneke comes and says, Papa, Mama, Buddha, kom ons kerf. As in, kom ons klink. Kom ons kerf. So by ons, hy skerf ons. I don't know where she got it, but we kerf in our house. Kom ons kerf. Where was I before my thirst overcame me? Monday. First Monday prayer, I'm like setting everything up and I tell the guys, okay, these are the songs we're wanting to play. And just hours before intercession, Danny comes and says, nope, the songs are gone, off the computer, no songs. Okay, maybe God doesn't want us to sing tonight. But scrambled around on my computer, found some songs, and I felt, okay, this is what the Lord is wanting us to do. Just worship around, brought that along, came to the prayer meeting. As we got here, there were just, man, cars all over the place. I'm like, revival in the land. There are people here to pray. Well, a fleeting moment thought came into my mind. I just like, I made a joke of like with God. And I just felt the Lord saying, but no, you wanted me to see that because that is where we're going. And we're actually going to have more people praying than we're going to have in our Sunday services. So I'm getting there and I'm thinking, oh, okay. Meeting here at the school, parent-teacher meeting, whatever. So there are parents everywhere, and there are kids everywhere. There are cars everywhere. Now, obviously, we pray in the cafeteria. I don't know whether you've seen the cafeteria, but there are no curtains, and there are no blinds, nothing. It's like a massive, nice, open venue, you know, nice and open, transparent, open. And to get there, okay, it's going to be fun. Walk into the venue, and then Danny comes. The speaker blew a fuse. Man, then the speaker almost blew a fuse. Got it, thank you. But it was a literal speaker that blew a literal fuse. And so, I thought, okay, this must be another confirmation. I'm not going to sing tonight. But Donnie, being ever reliable Donnie, you know, managed to figure it out, brought another speaker, and we could get away. So worshiping. And it was amazing as we were standing there and just praising God. A thought came into my mind. I don't know how many of you, rephrase the question. I know that many of you, the guys, saw Braveheart. And you'll remember a scene from Braveheart. Like the first massive battle. And the armies are arrayed against each other. Like the first battle they're going into. And the guys come and they ask William Wallace. He's on his horse and ask him now, so, where are you going? What are you going to do? And he's like, I'm going to pick a fight. So what about us? Just be yourselves. And I'm standing and I'm like, okay, I've got this weird sense that God is saying to us that He is going to pick a fight. The battle lines have been drawn in terms of a spirit that is clashing. Now, there's something Lord has been working in our hearts last year, saying, guys, I'm wanting you to move up. And I was ready to hear from the Lord that Monday. The Lord is wanting us to, we're going to have a nice, silent, quiet prayer meeting. Maybe even go to the office, which we have done before, so we can be more focused. You know, come pray. The people are parking on the other side. They're shining their lights right into the venue where we pray. We need some privacy, and we can focus. We can pray by ourselves. That was what I was ready to hear from God. That was not ever what God was ready to say to me. He had something else in mind that He wanted to say to us. And it was as if the deposit that God had given us last year about the life that He's giving us is wanting to display that. He's wanting us to take that out. In that intercession meeting was being confronted with so many of our fears. Of people looking at us and misunderstanding who we are. Now we have the parents of the school coming together, and you know, we don't really do silent prayer meetings. You go into most of our small towns, and you'll find that most of the towns have got a church, nice big church, middle of the town, and then they would also have a church street, Kerkstraat, omtrent altyd daar in Woerdig en alles dorpies. And so you have the church, you would have church street, and then you would have a sign, not very far from the church. It says something along the lines of Stilte Kerk. And I'm sure there were good reasons for it. Maybe the oxen way back were very noisy and people with their horses. And the people wanted some privacy. But you know, if I look at the Bible, I don't really see a sign that says silence, heaven. I don't really see too many moments of silence. Please go and read the Bible yourself. And you will see that most of the time when we get a glimpse into heaven. Man, there are these angels flying around the throne of God. Ezekiel says, like a wheel within a wheel. It's like fire coming out of their eyes. They've got like, I don't know how many eyes coming out everywhere. And six wings. And they're shouting, worthy, worthy, holy, holy all the time. And then you get Revelation. And you see that the Bible says, like, there's a sound of a choir, like many waterfalls. Now, I don't know when's the last time you've been next to the Euphrates in flood or any waterfall. A waterfall isn't quiet. There's many waterfalls. And then there are people from every tongue and tribe and nation in heaven crying out to the Lamb who's worthy to be slain. All power and might in dominion. There's a lot of holy chaos in heaven. Lots of noise going on. And so silent, quiet prayer meetings, though they can happen, I'm sure they do, and we've experienced it as well. But there's a rumbling in the spirit. It takes place. And Jesus said, pray that the kingdom of God comes here on earth. The will of God is being done on earth as it's being done in heaven. And there's an excitement in heaven. People come together. There's a rejoicing when people enter into the presence of God. And so on that Monday, I just felt, and I told the guys, let's just be ourselves. We're going to praise God. We're not going to care what people think and what we look like, because we're doing something prophetic as to where the Lord is wanting to take us. So we worshiped God and we praised Him, and more cars arrived and more lights shone into the building and blinded us, and we just kept on praising the Lord. And then we started praying and clapping and shouting and agreeing. And then we have one of our dear brothers who's a very passionate man. And he would pray, and we'd be sitting next to these steel tables and we'd pray, and Father God, we just thank you, God, that we can be here. And we refuse to accept that we will be defeated, and we will not accept. And then every time he's praying, he's like banging on the steel table. I'm thinking, great, not only are we crazy, we're vandals as well. That's what people are going to look at when they see us. And so this prayer meeting just was an awesome prayer meeting. We were just obedient. The Lord had said, be yourselves. We were ourselves. And as we were being ourselves, these kids started coming in and started worshiping God with us. And it was like, as if Jesus was like, finally, we're getting it. Jesus' words didn't prevent the little ones from coming to me. There is something that happens, saints, when we are not ourselves. We always think about, you know, preventing the kids from coming to Jesus. It's got to do with, no, no, no. You know, Jesus over there and the kids over here, and we blocking and stop being, no. God, Jesus, none of us are that cruel. You know, we don't deliberately like say, kids, you won't come to Jesus. When we are not true to whom God has called us to be, you know what we're doing? We are preventing them from coming to Jesus. Because we are preventing them from seeing Jesus through us. And Jesus wants to manifest Himself through us the way He has created us. And there was an awesome presence of the Lord. It's almost breathtaking in its intensity. So the Lord manifested Himself and spoke to us so powerfully. Aunt, I don't know whether you want to share. You want to share with us quickly? Because Aunt, the testimony is just a sort of came forth out of that evening. I believe it's very pertinent to where we are.
There's we have a prayer group at school. We're about 10 moms. And when I was in Brooklyn Mall, one of the moms, I walked past her and she said, wait, I have to tell you something. Because she couldn't be at the prayer meeting on the Thursday after the Monday here. And she said, I must just tell you something. But she's spirit-filled, she and her husband both. But she said, I must just tell you something. My daughter was in that group that because one of the guys, Andreas, went and he prayed with his kids. While we were praying, he went and he took them in a circle and he prayed with them. And she said when after the parent meeting, they drove home. And this little girl of hers says, Mama, I must tell you what happened at school at the kiosk tonight. There were these people praying and singing. And we went there and there was this man that came and he prayed with us. Mommy, and I could experience Jesus. I could experience all my sin being washed away. I felt clean as I've never cleaned. This is a 9-year-old little girl. And she said, Mommy, we must go there. We must go there. And this is a woman that I've also been, so I've been walking a road, or we have been walking a road because they struggle also. So we're just, also, you know, praying for God that He will bring them. But in our faithfulness, this is what this little girl experienced, her sins being washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Obedience. Yes.
Amen. Thanks, Hans. And if it was for the one girl, saints, it was worth it. I believe that there is just something very, very precious treasure that the Lord is wanting to drop into our spirits around what happened there that evening. And the word the Lord shared with us, I'm going to read for us. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. It comes from Isaiah 52. It says, wake up, wake up. The King James says, arise, arise, or awake, awake. Pull on your boots, Zion. Dress up in your Sunday best, Jerusalem, holy city. Those who want no part of God have been culled out. They won't be coming along. Brush off the dust and get your feet captive, Jerusalem. Throw off your chains, captive daughter of Zion. God says you were sold for nothing. You're being bought back for nothing. Again, the Master God says, early on, my people went to Egypt and lived strangers in the land. At the other end, Assyria oppressed them. Thanks, Michael. Just get down. And now, what have I here? God's decree. My people are hauled off again. We're talking about Babylon. Being hauled off again for no reason at all. Tyrants on the warpath, whooping it up. And day after day, incessantly, my reputation blackened. Now, it is time that my people know who I am, what I am made of. Yes, that I have something to say. Here I am. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news, breaking the news that all's well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, telling Zion, your God reigns. Voices, listen, your scouts are shouting. The Message translates, watchmen on the wall, intercessors, as scouts, people who go ahead and see and then report it back to the rest of the army. Your scouts are shouting, thunderclap shouts, shouting in joyful unison. They see with their own eyes God coming back to Zion. Break into song, boom it out. Boom boxes are from God. Boom it out, ruins of Jerusalem. God has comforted His people. He's redeemed Jerusalem. God has rolled up His sleeves. All the nations can see His holy, muscled arm. Everyone from one end of the earth to the other sees him at work doing his salvation work. Out of here. Out of here. Leave this place. Don't look back. Don't contaminate yourselves with plunder. Just leave, but leave clean. Purify yourselves in the process of worship, carrying the holy vessels of God. But you don't have to be in a hurry. You're not running away from anybody. God is leading you out of here. And the God of Israel is also your rear God. And that word, he just kind of like dropped it into our spirits. I want to encourage you, you can read it in the Amplified as well. It's amazing. God is saying, arise, arise, awake. Stand up. From whatever you think has been, whatever experiences you've had with God, however you think God must manifest himself through you, or he can't use you because you don't know enough, you're not saved long enough, or maybe you've been saved too long, and you've seen too much. He says, none of those things matter. He says, leave those things behind. God is here in our midst. God is making a decree, the text says, I am here. You know where here is? Here is everywhere. Here is everywhere. Where he goes with you. And there's an amazing verse in there, and I'm going to wrap up now. Which says, take off your chains. Just, Michael, just go back. See if we can find it quickly. Yeah. Brush off the dust and get to your feet, captive Jerusalem. Throw off your chains, captive daughter of Zion. And the Lord spoke to us and he gave us an interesting word. He said that he is calling us out of quarantine. It is as if we as a church and as believers, and we believe it is representative of us as a group, various levels, that God is calling us out of quarantine. It is as if, and it specifically said to self-inflict the quarantine. In other words, we have been set free. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said that he has come to do what? To set the captives free. To deliver us, to lead us out of prison. And he has set us free. And quarantine is what you do when you isolate somebody. Because that person is, or has a disease that is contagious. You put them in quarantine. They're isolated. And God said very powerfully to us, he did not put us into quarantine. It's a self-inflicted. In other words, some of us feel so broken, feel so contaminated, feel so messed up, feel so unworthy. Because of our backgrounds, because of the stuff that people did to us and things that we are doing or did do, that we have said, this is where I'm going to be. Yes, and from time to time, I'm going to come out, I'm going to worship God, but my life becomes almost like my prison. Everything around me, even the good stuff that I'm experiencing, I'm using this to quarantine myself. I'm using this to isolate myself, to cut myself off from people, because I don't know how much good is inside of me. I actually think that the bad, the fears, the disappointments, the anxieties, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the headaches, whatever it is, those things are more powerful than the life God has placed inside of me. And God is saying, no, I am calling you out. Leave. Leave. And Jesus, when he walked on the face of the earth, Jesus went about setting captives free. Saints, I want to encourage you, please go read the Gospels again. The Lord is so to bring into my heart that I need to see Jesus again. Go and see what he did. He walked into that Samaritan woman's life. She had lived with a prison of rejection. It lived with a prison of shame. He walked into a life and he set her free. He walked into Zacchaeus' life and he had lived with a prison of greed and fear of financial insecurity. And he had lots of stuff, but he was a small man, not just in physical stature, but small in life. Because the greed just bottled up all the life inside of him until Jesus walked into his life and said, today I'm going to dine with you. Today I'm going into your house. And so after that encounter, as he was set free, that small man threw a massive party to which people could come. The demoniac from Gadara, a man that lived in a prison of lust and anger and violence. The Bible says he used to rip off his clothes and he lived amongst the graves, he felt more comfortable amongst dead people than the living. He lived amongst the graves. Jesus walked into his life. And when people found him again, they found him clothed and in his right mind. Turned that whole town upside down. Jesus set him free from all the demons and the things that were too powerful for himself to control. Mary Magdalene, who stood there with literally people ready to stone her. The weight of condemnation. She was condemned to die. And the love of God, the love of Jesus got between her and the stones that were ready to be thrown at her. So shame fell from her. And so right at the end when Jesus was dying on the cross, she was there because she was a captive set free. So was little Talitha. Jesus took her by the hand. This little girl, awake. Stand up. Arise. Broke the power of death over her life. Peter, the guy that I thought was the zealot. Jesus entered his life. He had lived in a prison of fear of man. Jesus at one stage told him, Peter, the guy got the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus commended him, said, Peter, nobody told you that. There was God who told you that. You hear from God, buddy. And then the next moment, Jesus said, I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, Jesus, not you. And Jesus rebuked him and said, listen, you are thinking too much of what people think, Peter. The fear of man is driving you and is going to cause you great hurt. So we know how Peter denied Jesus, ran away from him, forsook him, betrayed him, just like Judas did. Actually, but worse, actually. And right towards the end, we find Jesus having a bride again. A father loves bride. I think it's a national bride day in heaven. And Jesus comes and he meets Peter as Peter is sitting next to him. He's in the boat. The last time he saw Jesus, he betrayed Jesus. Jesus comes to him. Takes him by the shoulders, I believe. Probably put his hands over his face. Peter, I want you to look at me. I know you feel ashamed. I know that you fell so far short of what you should have done. But listen, I still want you to feed the sheep. I still trust you with that which is most precious to me. I know you feel like a coward. I know you feel like you've wasted it all. I know you feel like all your dreams don't mean anything. I know you feel like going back. I want you to know that I trust you with that which is most precious to me. My lambs. Feed them. And I believe the Lord is saying to us as a church and as individuals, the most precious things, saints, in the eyes of God, these lambs. The lambs and the sheep that are scattered abroad. The little ones that cannot defend himself. Jesus said his heart broke when he saw the sheep scattered. You know to whom he entrusts them? The people who are afraid. The people who have made mistakes. The people who have betrayed God, betrayed what they stood for. The people who have been lax in praying. The people who couldn't stay up with Jesus and just pray with him for a few hours just before he died. People who said things they shouldn't have said. People who cut off other people's ears. Broken, messed up people. Comes to them and he says, just allow me to love you. And then love others the way I'm loving you. And that's what I believe the Lord is calling us into. So what we're going to do as we go into this year is we're going to take intercession up to the next level. And we're going to pray everywhere. And we're going to let you know where we're going to pray. Tomorrow night, we're still going to pray here. Monday after that, we're going to pray in Centurion. Monday after that, we're going to pray in the Moord. Monday after that, we're going to pray in the East. Don't know where yet. We're going to take the prayer and the praise and worship. We're going to take it into the community. And we're going to see what the Lord says to us. I don't know where the Lord is taking us. All that I know is things are changing. And he's walking ahead with us. And all I know is that his love has been ahead of us already, calling us. So I'm wanting us to stand as we just cast our eyes forward. to what the Lord is holding before us. If you just close your eyes with me, I wanted to pray for a few people this morning. It's a very simple prayer, and that is that the Holy Spirit will enable you to see that you are already free, that Jesus has already set you free. But there are some chains around your life, your legs, that He has called you to take off. You put them off. You say no to that shame that wants to climb on your back. You say no to that fear. It has lost its power to control you because of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Can we close our eyes? I just want to pray a very simple prayer with us. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, Heinrich, I've never heard Jesus speak into my heart. I've never felt the glow of the sun on my face like a man does who walks out of prison, stretches his arms, can look around him, touch the trees, the flowers, lie down where he wants to, breathe out, go to bed at peace and not be afraid that somebody is going to molest him, rape him, plunder him. I'm still very afraid. I still feel very alone. I still think that I feel much more comfortable amongst the dead than the living. I don't know what it feels like to have the love of God stand between me and condemnation, or have the love of God stand between me and people's opinions and what they think of me and what they've said I will be. I don't know what it feels like to have the love of God stand between me and the gates of hell. I'm not sure where I would go if I would breathe out my last right now. If you are here this morning and you would like to accept the offer that God is holding before you, life in Him, not on your terms, on His terms. Maybe you've made a decision many years ago, but you've walked away from Jesus. Maybe you counted the cost and thought it was just too hard, just couldn't do it, so you gave up. I would love to pray with you and agree with what is going on in your heart right now. Say, Father, ek wil net sê, Pa, en ek wil hardloop na U en U om die been gryp en net daar sit. Net vashou. Is anybody here like that this morning? I just want to pray with you. You feel far away from God this morning, for whatever reason. Might be that you know Him already, but you just feel there's such a disconnectedness between me and God. And I would like to agree with you and pray with you that you are not here by accident. You are here because God has called you here. He's calling you home, closer to His heart. Just for one more minute. Is there anybody like that here? Hannah, just pray with me. You see the hand here on my left. You can drop it again. My sister. Anybody else? Just take a moment. We come together just to stand witness to what God is doing. The second group of people I want to pray for is, you just sense in your heart that there's so much inside of you. There's this fountain. You're saved, you're born again. There's this fountain inside of you, but it's like there's stones upon it. You know God is calling you out. You know that He's calling you to live fearlessly. He's calling you to live boldly. But there's just something that's holding it back. It's like a little trickle. I think the Lord is saying He's going to take those stones off. He's wanting a fountain to erupt. He's wanting to pour the river of the orange, the water of the orange river into your heart. So your love, your heart can be like your krabis. Just thundering, I am loved, I am loved, I am loved, I am loved, I am loved. And that water carries every bit of shame, every bit of fear far away into the ocean. And it's powerful enough to take whoever needs to go with you. Say, God, I don't want a little trickle. I don't want to lie with my mouth underneath the tap. And some of us, we feels like we have to stand in this long queue before we can get to the tap. And when we get there, just a little bit of water of God that's there for us. No, it's inside of you. And this morning, He's saying to you, put off your chains. The Lord has spoken to you. It's through the Word. I just want to raise your hand. I can just pray a prayer of agreement with you. Just right there where you're standing. Say, Lord, that's me. I sense life inside of me, but God, I want it to flow more to the outside. I'm sensing how it's washing me and it's cleansing me. But God, I recognize that water has been given to bring life. And I have so much of it. I want it to flow. Where it flows, God, I don't know. And I'm not going to be concerned about it. I simply say, God, let it flow. If you can just raise your hand boldly, I can pray with you as I'm standing with you. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these hands. I thank you for my sister, Lord, who has said, God, I feel a little bit far from you. And I thank you that right now, Holy Spirit, you touch her. And right now, Lord, she knows that she is being held close to you. There is nothing, there's even a millimeter's distance between you and her. I thank you that you wrap your loving arms around a fragile heart right now. I thank you that you're saying to her, Lord, that even as you told the Israelites that you are bearing your arm, you're displaying your muscled arm for all her enemies to see, that she belongs to you, and you have engraved her on the palm of your hand. You've tattooed her, God, for all to see that she is yours. And I thank you for your peace. Cover us right now, God, and for the rest of us. Oh, God, we thank you for what you are saying to us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for how you are speaking. We thank you that heaven is not silent, but that it is communicating with us. We thank you for the angels around this place. We thank you for the excitement in the Spirit. We thank you for what you are birthing, Lord, in the atmosphere. We thank you for the people that are so desperate to see life. Genuineness. Not perfection, simply a people given over to surrender. A people simply given over to being loved by you. And so here we are, God, and we say, come and ravish us with your love. And Lord, we accept the word that you are giving us this morning for us to go. And as we go, Lord, into the city that you love so much, we thank you that you will deposit in our hearts a greater dimension of your love. And we come to you, Lord, as our Father. Thank you for what you have done for us individually. But thank you for what you are doing through us corporately, oh God. Thank you for the dimensions of your love that you are pouring out upon us where two or more gather in your name. And we assemble. Thank you for the excitement, Lord, that we can sense in your daddy heart. And as your scouts, Lord God, this morning, we thank you that we can see eye to eye that God is here. That we can see that He is in our midst. That we can see that there is no place that you will lead us that you will not be with us. So simply come and be to us, God, our fortress. Come and be to us, our sanctuary, our shelter. We walk away from every other man-made shelter, God. We pray, Lord, that you would come and with the wind of your Spirit, come and blow away every shelter, Lord, that we have made with our own hands, because ultimately they are inadequate. We thank you that you place around us the wall of fire for your Spirit. Pray for hearts, Lord, that feel so exposed and that they feel light to shine upon them. I just want to hide like a little verskripte bokkie. Wat verstar en vastgevang raak in die hoofligte van 'n aankomende motor en vrees dat hulle plat getrap gaan word deur daardie motor. But I thank you, Lord, that the light that you are shining on us is not the light to condemn. It is not the light that will cause fear, God. It is the light that sets free. The light of your love says that you're covered. You don't have to be naked. You don't have to be ashamed. I'll cover you. I'll be the strength inside of you. You are mine. And I'm yours. So we declare, God, that you're a mighty fortress. And as we sing that song together, let's just declare that over our lives. Let's worship God. I don't know what the things are that are causing you to feel maybe a little bit vulnerable this morning. Just give it to God as you're worshiping Him. And if you want to come to the front, you want us to pray with you, we'll do that. That's why we're here. Unite our faith with yours. But let's just declare that our God is a mighty fortress. Tell your saints there's exciting days that lie ahead. God is taking us up. They're just amazing things. Things that have shifted in the atmosphere. And He's not going to leave you behind. You are part of His plan. You, family, the people God has placed in your life, your dreams, lay them down. Say, God, here I am. Take me where you want to take me. Let's worship the Lord. Let's praise Him. If you need prayer, you're welcome.